Welcome to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, for you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You Show starts now. Happy Friday, friends. How are you? How was your week? Are you crushing it? Right? I bet so. If not, how can you finish your Friday strong? What two things can you commit to doing yet today that will make the biggest impact on how you start your weekend and move into next week, right? Maybe it's getting your overwhelm right out of your head and onto paper. Maybe it's taking a walk or moving your body in some way. Maybe it's looking back at your week's priorities and reprioritizing and picking maybe two of the most important, right, from that shuffle. Can you be super intentional about how it is that you want to end this week? I promise you, you will be so glad you did. Okay, so last week, I talked about the reasons why we don't do what we say we're going to do, right? So if you missed last week, you can catch the replay. Today, we're talking about feelings. So exciting. Feelings, the reason we do anything at all. Think about it. Everything we do or not do is either to feel a certain way or to not feel a certain way. So regardless of what camp of feeling you're in, feelings matter more. Feelings are everything. I talked last week about the meaning, right, that we give to our situations by way of thoughts and beliefs and stories. I want to remind you that thoughts are the reason for your feelings, not the situations, right? You are not mad because of your mother-in-law, right? You are not frustrated because of your colleagues. Your kids are not overwhelming. You are overwhelming you with your thoughts about your kids, right? You are mad and frustrated and overwhelmed because of your brain, right? The thoughts and stories that you have about them. And this is the best news ever, because if our thinking is the problem and our thinking is optional, then we literally have a solution to every problem. So if our thinking triggers how we feel, literally, right? We have a thought and that thought elicits a chemical release, a vibration in the body. We call it an emotion or feeling, right? And how we feel fuels how we show up. Then I'm guessing we want to have at least some awareness of what emotion we are bringing to the game. Right? If you're like so many that I know, we think we just have two emotions, happy and, well, not happy. But I promise you, we are all born with the same emotional receptors to feel the entire spectrum. Whether we label those feelings as disappointment, frustration, overwhelm, anxiety, or being bored, or just not happy, right, is completely up to the feeler. But I promise you, you feel. If you breathe, you feel. Okay. What I find most of the time is that we're too busy in our own life, that we dismiss the awareness of them and rather we ignore them. We then bypass the emotion and find ourselves fining our life away, pretending, placating that everything is great when it's not, right? And then we get angry and resentful and think that there is something off and we don't know why. That's something that we think is off is our inability to feel and to listen to it. If we allow ourselves to listen to the truth of our heart, we can answer the I don't know why of our mind. So feelings matter, my friends. Now, sometimes when people hear me talk about the work that I do, they think that the goal right? Is to be happy all the time. I mean, if we create our emotions by way of our thoughts, right? And this is true. And if our thoughts are optional, then why wouldn't we just always opt for a positive thought? Here's why. We don't always want to think positive about things that aren't necessarily positive. Okay. Let me break this concept down by helping you understand the difference between clean and dirty pain. Okay. When we think about clean pain, we think about an emotion that is elicited from a thought always about a situation that is appropriate, that is moving us through an experience, allowing us to become better on the other side of it, right? There are for sure situations that we don't want to feel happy about. There are situations that we don't always want to have a positive attitude about. When my mom had cancer, I had a lot of clean pain, right? Keep in mind, it's not because my mom had cancer. It was because of my thoughts about her cancer. And I wanted to have those thoughts. I wanted to think that I wish my mom wasn't suffering in this way, right? That I wish this wasn't happening, that I feel so bad, that I wish I could do more to help, right? You see how all of these are appropriate thoughts to think in this particular situation, right? Now those thoughts and some fearful thoughts and some angry thoughts are all optional, right? But I want to think those thoughts about my mom suffering in this way. I wanted to allow myself to feel them. I wanted to cry. I remember getting in my car after visits with her and crying. I would even put on some sad music just so I could really lean into it, right? I can feel that these emotions, those emotions are appropriate and that they're moving me through this painful experience. And if I don't allow them, and I'm not allowing myself to move through the experience, rather than I stay stuck in it, resisting, repressing, and finding your emotions away. It's not the way, my friends. And I know this firsthand because I was the queen bee at this, right? So clean pain leaves you better. Dirty pain, on the other hand, doesn't move us through an experience. It keeps us stuck and spinning and recreating unnecessary pain. It's not helping us contribute more. It's not an appropriate kind of loving human type of experience. It's just dirty. Okay. Let me give you an example of dirty pain. I worked in publishing for about 20 years and they shuffled up territories and downsized and I was let go, right? After 20 years in the industry, that left me sad. I had made amazing friendships. I got to watch, you know, my friends get married, have kids, watch their kids get born and graduate and watch their kids get married. I got to watch them experience misfortunes and deaths and the good and the bad of all of this life, right? This was a totally appropriate thing for me to feel sad about the situation. But what also happens in situations where companies reorganize and restructure, there's a lot of gossip and drama. And it happens in any company when there are layoffs and firings, and there's a lot of negativity around it, right? And people are left asking why they got to stay and why they got asked to leave, right? And all of that just fuels our bitterness. All the self-pity and all the self-righteousness. And if I were still holding on to all that dirty pain, I could probably still be pretty mad, right? But dirty pain leaves us bitter, not better. It doesn't allow us to move through an experience in alignment with who it is that we are, in alignment with who it is that we want to be, okay? Let me give you another example, right? In hopes to kind of bring this home. I was coaching a client and she says to me, she goes, Leah, I love my mom, but she says things that hurt my feelings and drive me nuts, right? And I say lovingly, okay, pause, right? Your mom doesn't say things that hurt your feelings and drive you nuts. Your mom says things and then you have thoughts and you drive yourself nuts and hurt your feelings, which again is totally fine that you do that, but that's what's really happening. You guys, you have to know this. It's so important because if mom hurts our feelings and drives us nuts, then we have to control mom in order to feel better. And I've tried controlling moms and everybody else in the world for that matter, and have never been successful at it yet. Okay. I figure out how to do it. Those are my first people that I'm going to teach how to do it. I haven't figured out how to control the ass. Okay. So then my client said, I've been doing this dance forever. I want to be able to love her no matter what she says or does, but it wears me down. And I feel lots of resentment for her for not understanding and realizing how the things that she's saying is making me feel, right? And I offer my client that her mom is not going to recognize how it makes her feel. Looks like she's been trying to get her to recognize it for quite some time now, and she doesn't see it. But here's the best news, friends. She doesn't need to see it. She's not the one hurting my client's feelings. My client is hurting her feelings with her thoughts. Do you see this? Now, maybe she wants to have some boundaries with her mom because it might be hard to manage her head when she is with her mom. And I'm all good with that. I'm all for that, right? She can say, hey, if you're going to talk to me in that way, right, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to leave because I don't like the way I feel when I'm with you, right? I like to keep the ownership over my feelings, right? I know that I'm creating my feelings with my thoughts, and I can just excuse myself. I don't need to be angry or mad or frustrated about it. I don't need her to see it. I don't need to be resentful, right? She could just say, you know what, mom, I love you, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go out now. And when you're ready to talk to me in a better, more kind way, right, then we'll get together again, and I'll see you later, right? Doesn't have to be so heavy all the time. I'm just saying boundaries are sometimes required to do the work that we're trying to do here, or at least make it easier, right? I'm not talking about you just sitting there, letting somebody swear at you or anything else you're not comfortable with, and you just think happy thoughts about it. No, remove yourself, but know that it is because your brain is going to hurt you if you stay in that situation. The situation is not. Okay. So now that we know differently, we can understand better, and therefore we can get leverage over it. So we have to take a look at it without judging ourselves. We have to unwind the thoughts that you think. Okay. Nothing outside of you creates anything for you. You are the creator of every single experience, every single feeling. Best news ever. Friends, it's all about beliefs and behaviors and understanding that how we think creates how it is that we feel, and how we feel fuels how we show up in the world. And if we want to stop sabotaging our life and the results in them, we have to first understand that you are the meaning maker. You are the one that gives the S meaning. So please do so mindfully. You either hurt your feelings or you inspire you with them. Okay. So the work is in looking at your thoughts and questioning them to see if you could unwind them and maybe reframe them to get to a place that feels appropriate, that feels in alignment. A thought that is as believable, right? But that also leaves you feeling better, not bitter, right? And sometimes, friends, it's not possible. And when it's not possible, we just have to allow for some negative emotion. Okay. And I don't even necessarily like to use the term negative or positive emotion because they're all just emotions. They're not facts. They're not even all that harmful. Yet everything we do and everything we don't do is either to feel a certain way or not. Interesting, right? If they're not facts and they're not all that harmful, I mean, they don't really hurt, right? They're just maybe a little uncomfortable. And from what I know, no one's ever died from a negative emotion, then why is it that we go out of our way to not actually feel them? Rather, we buffer with food, aka emotionally eat. We buffer with TV. We buffer with shopping and scrolling social media. We buffer with drinking and drugs and all the things, right? What if it was just okay to allow all the emotions? Yes, even the negative ones, even fear, anxiety, and overwhelm and tired. What I see happen way too often is when we resist this emotions, we become anxious about our anxiety. We become overwhelmed in our overwhelmment, right? We become scared of our fear. We become tired of being tired. And when we layer on and mirror our own emotions, we double up on them and we unnecessarily make them much, much worse, right? Had we have just processed them through. This is the work that I'm going to be doing in Becoming next month. It's my online coaching program. So if you're not in there, check us out. I'd love to have you in there. The full range of emotions, friends, let's embrace it as part of this human experience. It is, it's part of the 50-50 of being alive. I like to think about this by way of thinking about a movie, right? Think about one of the best movies that you've ever seen, right? I'm guessing that it had some elements that maybe made you cry, right? I'm guessing that maybe it had you on the edge of your seat, right? Maybe perhaps a touch anxious. All good movies have this contrast, this journey, this narrative of progression and struggle. If it doesn't, it will be a very boring movie, right? And when we have these emotions in the movie theater, we don't think it's wrong to feel them, right? We don't feel as if we have to control what's happening and change the characters and the plot in the movie so we can feel better, right? No, we just allow for them to come. I like to think about my life in the same way. It allows me to feel all the feelings without trying to manipulate and control all the people in my life. It allows me to honor them and celebrate them exactly as they are, right? And without me trying to change who it is that they are, gives me the freedom to love them unconditionally without judgment, right? So I want you to think of some of the shows that you watch and think about the characters that play the villain role. In a lot of the shows I watch, you guys, I end up kind of falling in love with the villain because you see that they have some goodness. They portray them as seemingly likable because, my friends, they are. Right? And you'll also begin to notice that the villain and the hero are more similar than you thought. Yet even through their conflict, you don't judge it. You just experience it. And I know so many will say, Leah, the movie isn't personal. The movie isn't real. And when they say that, it means that they don't understand the work that I do. They don't understand the concept that nothing we experience is outside of ourselves. Meaning we create all of it for ourselves. We only make it personal because of the way we are thinking about it. Do you see this? We think we see the world as it is, but we don't. We see it as we are in it. And guess what? So does everybody else. I find so many people not showing up in their own movie about their life because they fear feeling. They fear failure. They fear disappointment. They fear embarrassment and shame and discomfort, right? When they set really big goals in their life, most people will say that you need time and money and knowledge, and that's all true. But what's equally, if not more important than those three things, are a little bit of negative emotion tolerance. What this means is I'm going to have to be willing to endure these emotions if I'm going to step into the bigness of my life. When I was considering whether or not I wanted to do this podcast, I had to work through all of the fear and all of the worry that people might not like it and they might judge me and they might laugh and I might fail and it might be awful. And I just had to process all of those emotions in order for me to move forward with, yes, let's do it. Let's embrace all of the 50-50 of life, right? For many of us, we've never really been taught how to feel. Right? A lot of people have shared with me that they grew up in a home where feelings weren't really allowed. The people were told to stop crying or to stop being such a scaredy cat or stop being so dramatic. Other people, myself included, looked around at my situation and realized, oh my goodness, my mom cannot possibly handle another emotion. My mom cannot possibly handle any more worry. My brother, he was diagnosed with spinal meningitis. About 18 months. And the doctors told my mom that he would pretty much just be a vegetable for the rest of my life. She was told that he most likely wouldn't even see his second birthday. And so my mom decided that they could be wrong about that. And she took them home, and with the help of the family and friends in the community that we grew up in, my brother learned how to walk and talk and attend school. I mean, he has a seizure disorder, right? Which kind of keeps everybody on a pretty high alert, right? I remember wherever I was in the small town of Hudson, where I grew up, anytime I heard sirens, I immediately raced home, biked home as quick as I could to make sure that my brother was okay. All of my feelings seemed so small compared to the bigness of what my mom was going through, what my brother was going through, even what my sister was going through. And so whenever anybody would ask me how I was, I would just say, fine. I was the queen at suppressing my feelings. I was the queen at pretending. I didn't even know that emotions were the language of the body. I didn't even know that emotions fueled my action. I didn't even know that I could feel them in my body. I didn't know that I could name them. The only emotion that really I ever offered was actually for myself more of just a thought. I'm fine. I don't ever actually remember feeling fine, right? And as I've gotten to learn more about our brains and what it means to be a human, I realized that emotions and feelings are everything. They're what drive and fuel all of our action. They allow us to connect with people in meaningful ways. Feelings are indicators, right? That there is something within us that needs to be healed, right? And when we don't heal them, they become dictators, right? Who can we blame? Who can we point fingers at and be mad at? And when we do this, we're quick to temper. We tend to get defensive. We avoid, we ruminate. We bring hate to our conversations. We bring a sense of entitlement. We bring anger. We spin out and stall out, and then we become resentful of the entire experience. I don't know about you, but sometimes what happens is that we make it 10 times worse than it would have been if we had just taken a beat, right? And looked within ourselves rather than our default projection outward. All right. The other interesting thing that I want to offer up about feelings, and I could talk about feelings for a really long time, is that no one else feels them. So many times when I'm coaching clients, they offer up that they just want to be mad, as if that would show the person that they're aiming their anger towards, right? I know this is super disappointing, friends, but no one feels your feelings but you. You are the one that suffers when you're mad at the other person. So often we delegate our emotional well-being to the people that are the least capable of handling it. Think about those quote unquote difficult people in your life. Maybe it's somebody that at work that you know. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's your mother-in-law, right? When we have dirty pain around them, feelings of frustration and overwhelm and anger and resentment, what we're basically doing is double whamming ourselves. First, with the thought about that person, what they did or didn't do. And then we suffer in the negative emotion and the expectation pain that it all creates, right? We create it all for us, okay? In the last episode, right, I talked about thinking about what we're thinking about, right? And the same is true for our feelings. In order to process feelings, we have to be aware that we have them. We have to understand how to feel them, right? And be aware that we have to move through them, right? By the way, we are talking about feelings all next month and becoming. So I'd love to have you there, okay? So I'll wrap up with feelings. When we think about them, right, what are the ones that you feel on the most, in the day, right? Some people have a couple positive emotions. Some people have a couple of negatives. I want you to understand that your emotions matter because how you show up in the day is dependent on how you're feeling, okay? Let's say you need to have a conversation with your husband about something that he did that you don't agree with. And you had some thoughts about that that hurt your feelings, that made you mad. See the ownership there? If we allow our emotions, anger and frustration, to dictate how we show up, we are most likely not going to have a productive conversation. It's going to be fueled by hate, and it will most likely make the problem bigger than what it needs to be. What if we instead allowed ourselves time to feel and get to a place of compassion, right? I know it's not a word. I told you I make up words all the time, but I love it because I believe that productive and loving and meaningful conversations require both compassion and patience, right? Along with a little curiosity. So I guess the word would be like compatiosity. I don't know. Anyway, what would happen in our relationships, in our conversations, if instead of reacting and blaming and assuming ill intent, right, we process our feelings, we identify the unmet need and meet it, right? Most of the time, if we really think about what it is that's going on, we realize that it's our work to clean up. We give wrong assumptions and think that what they did or didn't do is because they don't love us, right? We have this false story in our head about what people do or don't do, right? Out of love, and we project this story onto them. That's our story that we need to clean up. Okay, my friends, right? So I hope you see that if we don't learn how to feel, how our emotions can get the best of us, which sometimes is the worst of us, right? Because remember, you don't feel your feelings by projecting them onto someone else. You feel your feelings by feeling them. It is such an important skill to learn because, as you will discover next week, when I talk about the A line, our action, what we do, what we don't do, how we show up, everything in the A line is dependent on learning how to feel and feeling what we're feeling, right? Okay. All right, my friends, if you like this episode, would you do me a favor? Would you share it with some of your favorite people and ask them to do the same? This movement requires our movement, this movement to become more by being more. I truly believe that together, you and me, we can become more, inspire others to do the same. We can change the world one mindset at a time, starting with ourselves. Thanks for being with me here. Have an amazing weekend, everyone. I'll see you next Friday. Same time, 11 Central. And if you want to take what you're learning on this podcast to the next level, check out our Becoming group online at www.leahrolling.com/becoming. This community needs you. See you soon. Bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rolling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrolling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.